if we want to talk about SSL as a whole, the reason this
Yeah,
is.
hold on. Let's pause. We're going to talk about SSL in the next episode.
So should we do the next episode?
Gordon now.
Good. Leave it, because I got to chop something up for the intro.
These two web punks have a combined 40 years in the industry. Tattoos, motorcycles, camping, gains, and geeking out. Get ready for the ride of your life.
You are listening to the Web Punks Podcast, the perfect unification of comedy and technical know-how. Listener discretion is advised.
Yeah, so you can always y'all check out the next episode for the SSL.
We gotta talk about the next episode.
It's the next episode. Hold up, boom.
Okay, episode 14.
Yeah, no, I don't know what one. Okay, let's do SSL now. Let's just keep rolling and let's put this one. I'm gonna put both of them out on the same night.
No, don't.
Okay, don't pause it. That's right, because it takes us 6 months to record. So yeah. I'll do this one. I'll do the first one on hosting.
You can flavor
tonight,
saver.
And then I'll do the SSL one maybe in a couple weeks.
In a couple weeks, yeah.
All right, let's do it. Explain SSL, man.
Yeah, so
Jordan's insanely tired because he played three. He was in a ladies softball tournament today, and he had to play three games.
I was the bat boy.
He was the bat boy.
So SSL. I mean, I think everybody knows what SSL is, but for those who do not know,
man, they don't. Because
anytime you go to a website like Amazon, right, and you want to purchase something. You'll see that there's a nice little HTTPS or a little lock in the top left. And that just confirms that you are connected to their website securely. It was not super important unless you were selling products and taking credit card information over the phone.
What does it actually do, though? Like, does it secure the data you're sending through your browser to the website? What does it do?
Yeah, exactly. So basically what it does is it sets up a secure connection between you and the server that you're connected to that's hosting the website. So, for instance, if you were to enter any credit card information, it'd be encrypted between you and that server. However, there is something called a man-in-the-middle attack.
What the hell is a man-in-the-middle? I mean, that's pretty kind of self-explanatory, but what's a man-in-the-middle attack?
So a man-in-the-middle attack is, let's say that you are able to get access to or generate a certificate for Google.com. And then you go into a large area like maybe Starbucks. And so this Google.com or let's say Gmail.com SSL certificate that you got, you're like, okay, I'm going to spoof and be a man in the middle for all traffic that goes to Gmail or Google.
How do you do that?
It's simple. What you do is like you just go into Starbucks and typically Starbucks, you know, when you hit accept and stuff, you get an IP address. And so what you can do is you can take over the gateway of the Starbucks and then pretend to be the gateway and still push the traffic through that gateway, but it would actually just go through your laptop. And through that, what you could do is you could say, okay, anyway, with Gmail, I want you to go through this, through my laptop, and I'm going to decrypt all the traffic, because what you're actually doing is you're presenting them the certificate for Gmail, and so it looks secure in their browser. Otherwise, if you didn't have a legitimate certificate, and this goes to about certificate, less encryption but more certificates, if you didn't have a legitimate certificate, it would give you an error message. Have you ever seen that where it's like, hey, you can't visit this website because certificate is expired,
yeah,
or it doesn't match the host name, or this is not the right person? So what happened happened multiple times is that these scammers end up getting SSL certificates for Google and being able to
But how do you do that? How does a scammer get an SSL certificate for Google?
So you have to, there's a couple different SSL certificates. Most of the time SSL certificates is based on trust. So you have to provide a means of identifying yourself as the owner of Google.com. And if you want to get there's typically the basic SSL certificate, and then there's the actual EV, extended validation certificates, where you actually get your name in the browser bar. So when you go to certain companies, you'll see their name in the browser bar.
Yeah.
That's just extended validation. So what that means is that you have to have a company. You have to have the listing in this.
You have to provide all your legit business information.
It's quite hard to do it.
Yeah.
But what these scammers did was they either hacked an SSL provider So if you like remember back in the day, there was Network Solutions.
Yep.
There's also Symantec. There's a couple other companies, GeoTrust. And so there's also some other shady ones like something Star. I can't remember what it was. Anyways, hackers got access. They were able to generate certificates and use them to like, you know, literally like put up Google websites and like they would just use it as a means to like spoof Google. So you wouldn't know if you're actually connecting to Google or not.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and so your browser doesn't tell you, and so you're just on Google, and it's things are happening. You're entering your password, right?
And you're sending it all to them.
Yeah, exactly. So, for instance, here's a good example. Let's say you lose your iPhone, right? Now, the iPhone, what happens is you can put it. Nobody can use it once you have like it locked down. Nobody can use it.
Yeah.
So you have to log into your Apple account to be able to actually use it and activate it.
Yes.
So, like, my buddy, you remember Hussein, he lost his phone in Vegas. And so then he said, you know, call this number or text this number for a reward if you find this phone. I ended up getting a text message, and it was a fake Apple stating that, you know, your phone's been found. It's, like, just basically spoofing it. You click on the link, and it has, like, an Apple login page.
Yeah, so they get your Apple information.
Yeah, but the domain was all, like, a weird domain. So that's how we knew. But if it was, like, legit, obviously, even if it was legit, it had an Apple domain and it had a valid certificate.
Yeah.
Nobody would know.
They'd think it was real.
Yeah. So this whole issue
right
now.
And, like, someone like my dad would just click it and be like, oh, okay. Like, if it just said Apple.
Yeah, exactly. RxV, your dad would click it. Yeah.
Yeah, he'd be like, oh, okay, it says Apple in it.
Yeah. Or let's say, you know, you got a request to, like, I don't know, do something and you had to enter your password. If they had the legitimate certificate on the Apple domain. Because let's say that your computer was hijacked, they change your DNS on your computer that goes to some remote server that points apple.com to this other remote server. Like, there's just so many levels. It gets super technical.
Yeah.
But like for an average business, Google's just requiring, because Google wants to have all websites secure just due to the fact that it can validate those websites, who owns them and what they do. So it's a lot harder for illegitimate websites to get.
Yeah, it adds like a layer of. Well, it adds the security, but it also adds like a layer of confirming that it's an actual legitimate business. Because if you go through the time to make it work or set it up, it's that layer.
Except for Let's Encrypt, you can register. I don't know. You can register random domains and get certificates for them.
Let's Encrypt.
Yeah, Let's Encrypt is a free one.
Oh.
So Let's Encrypt.
Well, Cloudflare is free, so
yeah, you can use any domain there. It's not a problem.
Yeah. So really, it's just about the fact that it's securing between
the computer and the web. And you know that that's what you're connecting to. That's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
Because a lot of these phishing websites, they'll have like the name and the URL, but it's not secure. Or sometimes it is. It's
I mean, it depends, I guess, if they go through the process of securing it.
And
right?
So okay, and then the other reason why they're doing this is because you can't. So let's say you're on a network, right, and you connect to a secure website. Typically what people do, specifically workplaces, is they monitor what traffic you're using, right?
Yeah.
Well, when it's secure, you can't really tell exactly what's going on because it's secure.
They can't monitor your
traffic. They can monitor the website you went to, like the domain name and all that, but like at a certain point, they can't see what you're doing with that traffic. So like
they can't tell if you're logging in.
Yeah.
They can't tell if you purchased something.
Exactly. You can't tell you what page you're going to specifically.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, technically they could look at specific URLs, but
the actual details of what's on of what you're doing is they can't see.
So like for example, there's this company, it's actually called Palo Alto Networks. There's whole history behind it, but it does some like super crazy stuff with traffic. So like it tries to find out if you're going, as you're visiting a website, any of the content actually has like a virus or any sort of stuff in it. Yeah. But as it starts getting encrypted, it can't because it can't read that traffic. So there's that. Anyways, and technically.
How do you think someone, what's the best way to get a free SS? Like Google makes you.
cPanel.
cPanel is the best way to get.
Just go get a host that has cPanel. They'll have auto SSL and installs SSL server done.
Yeah, so as long as your web host has cPanel.
And it's using their auto SSL, and that's it.
SSL. And then the best thing, you showed me that plugin for WordPress, if you have WordPress,
really simple SSL.
Really simple SSL, if you install that plugin on your WordPress site, it can automatically make sure that basically it's just like a redirect that makes sure that your site loads on HTTPS.
Yeah.
And that'll help.
Yeah, WordPress has some issues with like running an SSL certificate, so that extension helps. But like, I mean, if you literally want it super easy, just use Cloudflare.
Yeah, Cloudflare is the best. And if you don't know what Cloudflare is, Google it and go to it. It's Cloudflare, not Cloudflare, just so you know, because I made that mistake originally. Not Cloudflare, it's Cloudflare. And it's like, free. And basically, it's a CDN. It's a content distribution network.
It's multiple things.
And DNS. It's a whole bunch. Yeah. Yeah, you can do redirects on that. You can do everything.
Yeah. Honestly, when you start paying more for them, they're actually pretty good.
Yeah, it does a lot of it. But it helps with site speed, too. It helps with a whole bunch of stuff. And it's free. If it's they do have a free subscription, and you can add your site to it. I was a little weary at first because I'm like, oh, I'm pointing my name servers to this free thing. But in the past 8 months that I've been using it, there's never been a problem.
Oh, they legit. Yeah, they're super legit.
Yeah.
It's funny, though, because, like, if you pay, if you actually, so this is another fucking, sorry. This is another
you can reason, say fuck, man.
Yeah. This is another reason why I hate most people who do websites, because, like, they always hold on to things, just be like, oh, yeah, you need a CDN. It's like, no. You don't need to go and pay this company a bunch of money, try and integrate it into your site and do all this coding. Like, literally. Like, you can go and get some plugins for some of these CDNs, but they're all just, like, complicated, stupid things that it makes, like, it's just added work for these people. When, like, you can literally add Cloudflare, and it does the CDN for you.
Yeah. What a CDN is basically, what it is there's servers all over the place, and your site gets cached on them so that when a visitor is going to your website, it attempts to pull content from a more local server so it's quicker.
Yeah, so typically they used to do that just for images because HTML, like your actual website, loads pretty quick.
Yeah, it's like 0.4 kilobytes.
Yeah, but like images and JavaScript and CSS, those are all the big portions of it, of your website that typically, you know, take a lot longer to download. And so with the CDN, it just makes it easier for people who are like let's say somebody's in Australia, but they're visiting your site in Canada. And they get to load all these big ass images. Well, it just loads in Australia.
Yeah, quicker.
Yeah.
It doesn't. It's 10 o'clock.
I wonder if that's going to show up in the recording.
If it's not, that's going to. What I just said won't be funny. But it doesn't cache your database, though.
No, but it can cache your pages.
Oh, it does cache your pages?
Well, yeah. Because
once they render out.
It has a cache. It has a page cache. It has content caching.
Yeah, and like you don't have to worry about. I found that you don't have to worry about pages not updating because it seems that first request of anything different.
Yeah, it's pretty smart. There's also a WordPress plugin for Cloudflare that will clear the cache as you edit posts and stuff.
Yeah, because there's all the, how does a local? This will be the last one for tonight for this episode. How does? And I ask you the technical questions because you sit in here and this guy's computer across the room is like 6 feet tall. And it has like 7 blue lights on it.
Dude, you know what? Yours downstairs is exactly the same. Don't be talking about mine.
Yeah, it is.
I
got two.
You got your little workstation down there.
But that's not that tall, man.
No,
what do you got in that thing? Like a kid or something?
No, it's not tall. It's just on a box. Don't be a goof.
Jordan isn't like
this guy right here.
Yeah. Don't be a goof. No. What are these plugins like? How does a WordPress plugin that's for cache work? Does that just cache? Does it set up caching on the browser? So if it only applies to people that repeatedly go to your website?
This is the whole WordPress cache performance thing. So this is another issue that I have with most people is that they'll just set up a website and then like it's just there. The thing with WordPress is that it has so many different calls to the database when you load a page that it makes no sense whatsoever for a static page. Like you have a front page, it never changes.
Yeah. If your front page doesn't change, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean like how many websites?
Nah, you don't change very often.
Right. And even then if it changes, it's only going to change for maybe a day or a week or whatever. Or I mean any sort of dynamic content there shouldn't be, it's not going to be massive. Anyways, So all these caching plugins have a couple of different things. So like you have all these like, okay, I'm going to create, or I'm going to tell the browser to cache like JavaScript, CSS, and images. So what that means is like, hey, if you already have this, don't download it again. Just serve it up from cache. The problem with that is that sometimes the browsers will just be like, okay, and like hold on to stuff. And then people are always like, oh, I loaded my website, but like that change you made, it's not there.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you're like, yeah, just use Control F5.
Control F5. You got to do a hard refresh, bro.
Hard refresh.
Oh, shit. You got to do a hard refresh, bro. Right. I say that like 10 times a day.
Yeah.
Seriously.
So that's browser side caching, right? So the browser just holds on to it. Now, when you get into like actual like server side caching, what that means is that like a WordPress page might take 15 calls to a database, but at the same time you have five other people doing this, going to other pages on your site. So instead of having 15, you now have, you know, like
15 times 5.
Yeah, let's not do the math.
It's a lot.
Yeah, and so now your database is slowing down a little bit, or you know those pages take a little bit longer to load. So what you can do on the server side, depending, is most of these plugins will generate a static page just of HTML and then serve it up.
Oh, so it renders out your pages.
Yeah.
As static HTML. And then saves it.
And then serves them.
That's server-side caching?
Yeah, that's
how do you
like,
set up server-side caching?
Well, there's like different plugins that do a bunch of different things. There's Rocket Cache.
That's W3 what Rocket Cache is doing?
Yeah, W3 Total Cache.
Rocket Cache is actually rendering out your pages and saving copies of them.
Yeah.
Where do you find the where are the pages?
Pages are like in a directory on the server, in the Rocket Cache plugin directory, or there'll be like a cache directory, and then they do a bunch of rewrites and all this other stuff.
There's a bunch of crazy stuff in there, but so that's how that works. So basically, every time, the first time a page is rendered, it saves a copy of it. And then rather than querying the database every time someone visits that page, it just says, oh, the page hasn't changed, so you serve this up because
exactly.
It's quicker.
And then sometimes they'll expire the caches every 24 hours.
Yeah, yeah.
There's also other stuff, like one of the biggest issues is that, and you'll see this with like lazy loading. I don't know if you ever heard the term lazy load.
No, what's that?
So what happens is that like, let's say that you were just to download a website. It literally would probably take you a second.
Yeah.
So let's say you got all of your stuff set up so that it downloads the page. It downloads all the images and the JavaScript and the CSS. Let's say you get it up to like 2 or 3 seconds. Great. But the problem is your browser now has to render that page.
Yeah, your browser.
And that
yeah.
takes an additional 5, maybe 10 seconds.
Yeah, because it's got to take all the scripts and make them do what they're
and
supposed to
do. And so that's
another
issue with WordPress is that it loads all these CSS files, all these JavaScript files for all your plugins and stuff. So another thing Rocket Cache does and tries to do is it tries to combine them all into one file.
So they just have to load one file.
Exactly. And then there's another thing. Sometimes JavaScript will block the loading of the site. So what will happen is half the site will load that you're looking at, and then it has to wait for the other thing to load.
Yeah.
And then it'll display it. So yeah. Sometimes you'll go to a website, you'll click on the website, and it's taking forever. But if you hit escape on your keyboard, it'll display the site.
Because it's trying to load a script.
This might be right at the bottom of the page.
Yeah.
So they have something called lazy load, and usually they use it for images. And what happens is as you're scrolling down the site, it'll start loading images. So it will load them all. Because what you have to do is you have to like...
How do you set up lazy load?
There's a bunch of plugins out there for it, for lazy load. Rocket Cache has it. But that's not the other... That's one part of it. There's like render blocking JavaScript. And what that means is that you have a JavaScript that's supposed to do something to your page because you installed some plugin, and the page won't load until you actually load that JavaScript fully. There's just an insane stuff.
Yeah, yeah, I know, but that's a problem that a lot of people. I remember we were working on a website a while ago at work, and it had two. It was calling jQuery twice.
Yeah.
And it was like majorly messing up load time, page load.
And then remember when I put that change in, and then it just was
on
like
the,
quick.
On the
You're like, man, why is this site so slow?
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, now it's super fast, man.
Yeah. And so the easiest way to figure that out is going to the Google Chrome console, and you'll see how long it takes for all the items to load.
Yeah, under the network tab, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and the inspect tool with Chrome is amazing, man.
But, like, the biggest thing, and, like, I showed you that, was the light speed cache.
Yeah. Do you know that in the inspector for Chrome, you can actually make changes and it'll show it?
Yeah.
Like, you can, like, you can change a website and everything it does.
When did you find that out?
Not too long ago.
How long ago?
I don't know, like a couple months, 3 months ago.
Really?
I've
been doing that stuff for 5 years.
Yeah, man. See, I never had the need to, like, change something, like a background color or something.
Or you need to find something to see what CSS is causing the problem.
Yeah. I use it now for, like, when I'm building a WordPress site.
Yeah.
If I want to, like, change the colors of, like, the background of a
box.
Of a class or something. Yeah. I can just do it right there and I can see how it all
so
looks.
So easy.
Yeah. It's great.
Yeah. But I mean, talking about Lightspeed's just a web server, but it has a caching plugin and, it works like it just, I mean, like the minute you install it and
place, that's something you pay for, right?
Yeah. The minute you install it, like it's just, you know, I don't know. You can do the same thing with other stuff, but it's a little more manual. With Lightspeed, just drop in, add the plugin. There's so many configuration options, but you definitely see a decrease in
load time.
In load time.
Takes less time, yeah. All right, man. I think that's it for this one. I need to go to sleep.
Yeah, we haven't done a podcast.
It's been a long time, man.
We had
a long time,
man.
Long time. Shouldn't have left you without a doubt. See, the
statue. Yeah, we should talk about Gutenberg. I haven't even used it yet.
Yeah, we got to do that one next. I finally enabled it on a site. I had some time this week, and it's like Gutenberg is like a user-friendly.
Nope, can't talk about it.